Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 now past the hour of high noon. Welcome into a Nooner with Todd on the big show, Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you? It is sunny here high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square of the Capitol City.
It is sunny indeed. I'm doing well. I finally got to see Dune Part 2 this last weekend.
Oh, really?
The
nose,
on Sunday.
The nose hoses and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of nose hosiery in that movie.
How was it?
It was very good. I think it takes more departures from the book than the first part did.
Okay.
But still, like, sometimes you have to in a movie.
Okay.
Like, for example, if you have something that spans months or years in a book,
yeah,
when you're sitting there for two hours and 45 minutes, because it's a long movie.
Correct.
Then how, like, you can only convey so much time. So it makes sense.
Right.
The changes,
well, good.
The changes
you
made sense.
You give it a thumbs
good.
Up. Thumbs
I give it,
up
a,
on the
I give it two thumbs up.
All right. Very good. Well, I will not be seeing it. Maybe when it gets to streaming, but we'll see.
Jeff Perry asks, is Sting in that one too? No.
no Sting. All right. Very good. Coming up on the show this afternoon at 12:30 or slightly thereafter, our friend and colleague, executive producer of Civic Media, the one, the only, you know him, you love him, Mr. Luke Mathers with Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Looking forward to that. Talking a little bit of news and what else? We'll do a little sports. And speaking of sports, we're going to get to the news here in a minute. Speaking of sports, I say in this program frequently that, look, we pursue the truth wherever it may lead, but occasionally we might make a mistake. By the way, Sherry, checking in from Horicon. Very good. Thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon to you. If we make a mistake, we try to correct it as soon as possible. And I made a mistake. I want to own up to it, and I want to get the truth out there. We're talking about selection Sunday, yesterday on the show with Mike Clemens, our very own sports reporter. And I believe in giving out the game time for the Marquette Golden Eagles, I believe I said they were playing Thursday. Now, I don't know where I got that from. Maybe it was some erroneous information, but look, I passed it on. I'll take the fall for it. In fact, the Marquette Golden Eagles play on Friday, 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, taking on the ever formidable Western Kentucky Blue Mountain Wildcats, or whatever they're called. I'm not sure what they're called. But anyway, Western Kentucky, number 15 seed, taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles of Milwaukee, the number 2 seed. They play on Friday at 1 p.m., not Thursday, but Friday. Going to be a big day, because later on that night, the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team taking on James Madison, the school, not the player, at around 8:40 p.m., late game out on the East Coast in Brooklyn, New York. Game that one, the game for Wisconsin is going to be on CBS, on broadcast television, with the top team, by the way, the top broadcast team, including Bill Rafferty, which is, there's nobody like him. I love him to death. But the great thing is, as we were talking, you can kind of sync it up or whatever. You can watch the game on CBS at 8:40, and then you can listen with Matt LaPay and Brian Butch right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Probably, it's all going to depend, because there's a game ahead of the Badgers. So, you know, tip off 8:40-ish. So, you know, pregame show slightly after 8 o'clock-ish. But you can hear that on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WLAK in Amory. And if you don't live in one of those fine communities, we have you covered. Just download the Civic Media app. You can download it to your Apple or Android device. And bada bing, bada boom, just click on one of the stations I mentioned. I always go to RCE. And there you go. You can listen to the Badger game at 8:40-ish this Friday. Marquette plays at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Tune into your local listings for that. We don't carry the Marquette Golden Eagles. Fine team, nothing against them, but we just don't carry them here. So that's your, and by the way, speaking of downloading the app, stay tuned for hour number two, because there's a big, we have a big contest giveaway, spring in, drive into spring. What's it called, Mr. Zommers?
I wish I knew. I don't remember. Ride into spring.
That's exactly what it's called. That's exactly what it's called.
We're professionals.
Ride into spring. And if you want to get away, because spring fever, what do you want to do? I've been cooped up in the house. That's what we used to say back at Virtual Center. I've been cooped up in the house like a bunch of chickens. And if we want to get away, what better place than to go to the beautiful Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells? And if you can be, listen in the 1 o'clock hour, and you could be eligible to be a big winner. And by the way, we are bound to say, anytime we mention this contest, the lawyers have told us we have to make sure we say it is a statewide contest. So that's very critically important.
And also, if you want to get a head start on maybe winning, you can download the Civic Media app, because that's how you'll win.
That's right.
We'll let you know. Yeah. There's going to be some special word you got to text in to win. Yeah. And you text in via the Civic Media app.
Download it. Be ready. On your Apple or Android device, just type in on your app store, Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King calls a deal. So be listening in the 1 o'clock hour to your chance to win. We've got prizes as a stay overnight at Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. I believe you could also be eligible to win a bike and several other great prizes. So leaping into spring. Right here on the Civic Media Ready Network. All that and more coming up. So a big, big show today. So fasten the seatbelts and be ready to go. Want to start off, though, with the Trumpster. And all is not well at Trump Tower, or Mar-a-Lago, for that matter, because the Trumpster may have to be getting into the real estate market, but not on the buyer side, on the seller side. And I want to get into this a little bit today. Take your phone calls as well. And this is fascinating. According to The Economist publication, The Economist, since the end of 2019, the American economy has grown about 8%, while the European Union has grown about 3%, Japan 1%, and Britain, not at all. Ratner and economist Brendan Duke reported that entrepreneurship in the United States is booming. Fantastic. Real wage gains are going to go to those who need them most. Wages have gone up for all but the top 20% of Americans. Those wages have fallen, reducing inequality, according to The Economist. We hear this all the time, right? Why aren't working people doing better? Why isn't the billionaires who are doing better? Well, over the last 4 years, wage gains, more often than not, not all the time, but more often than not, going to those who really need them. Wages going up for all but the top 20% of Americans. So working people, more often than not, have gotten the good end of wage increases over the last 4 years. Meanwhile, Donald Trump portends economic disaster. In an interview last week, Trump said he was going, was open, that is, to cutting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Say that again. Trump is now saying he's open to cutting entitlements, including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Trump's personal economics are even worse. Yesterday, Trump's lawyers told a court that Trump cannot come up with either the money or a bond for the $454 million plus interest he owes in penalties after he and the Trump Organization were found guilty of fraud in a in a Manhattan court earlier this year. The lawyers say they have approached 30 different companies to back the bond, and they have all declined. They will not issue a bond without cash or stock behind it. Trump's real estate holdings, which are likely highly leveraged, are not enough. The Trumpster in some real money problems here. And the thing is that it's not just his own personal money problems here. the campaign, not doing so great either.
Well, it's because he uses the campaign's money to pay for his personal yeah, stuff.
That's very true, right? Great article today. Going to bring it to you here. The former president Donald Trump is facing two major fundraising problems, a shortage of big money interest and a drop in smaller donor dollar support. The decline in smaller dollar contributors could be a significant obstacle as the former president seeks to cobble together a 2024 war chest. Now, here's the thing. As someone who spent a lot of time in politics, is both working in government but also running campaigns, as they say, the old saying goes, mother is the milk of politics. Mother's milk, money is mother's milk of politics. If you don't have money, then you're in bad shape. My longtime mentor, former boss and friend, Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader, when I started working and volunteering on his campaign way back in middle school, I remember walking out of his farm and he said, I'm going to tell you the three rules to politics. The three rules to politics. Because if you follow these, you'll more often than not be successful. And I've never forgotten them. Number one, remember who your friends are. Good advice, right? Don't forget who was there when nobody else was. Stay loyal to people. Remember who your friends are. Number two, keep your ducks in a row. Which, a little vague, has different meanings to different people. But basically, it means be organized. Keep organized. Don't get scatterbrained. Show up on time. Keep your word, keep your ducks in a row. And number three, raise more money, right? It doesn't matter how much you have. Raise more money. Because ultimately, whether it's staffing, whether it's being able to afford media to get your word out, mailers, it's always going to take more money. Three rules of politics. And the small donors are the one you hear about. Well, somebody gave $5,000 or $10,000, these big money donors. Yes, they get a lot of attention. But really in any campaign, including president, it's the people. That's why when you get stuff on your phone or you get mailers in the mail, and they say, even if you could give us $5 or $10, because all of that, there are more people out there that could give a candidate $20 than could give $20,000. The Trumpster falling behind with small money donors. His days on The Apprentice of being the successful business person turned out to be a fraud. We'll dive into Trump's money problems after this on the Civic Media Ready Network. Back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Perhaps less champagne and whiskey for the Trumpsters, Mr. Summers.
Nobody knows when you're down and out by Derek. Or nobody knows you when you're down and out by Derek and the Dominoes.
Very nice. I have a feeling there's a lot of ketchup being thrown at Mar-a-Lago these days. For those that don't know, apparently for people particularly that were in the White House during the Trump years, Trump loves ketchup. And look, who doesn't love some good ketchup, right? But apparently when he gets angry, he throws ketchup bottles and plates of ketchup against the wall. That's how he lets it out. So I
does he really?
That's what I've heard, yes.
Is he four? I mean, I already know the answer is yes. He's 4 years old, or at least he behaves like it.
But for people who are in the inside, that's a report of what he's... how he lets out his anger. And he's, because here's the thing. We've talked about it before. For many people who have voted for Trump in the past, one of the things that they like to say is, look, I don't agree with the things that he says. He says some bombastic, outrageous things. I wish he wouldn't say the things that he does. But you know what? He's a successful business guy. He knows how to get things done. That's what we need. We need to run the country like a business. Well, now it's coming out in these court cases, and the rubbers meet in the road. And it turns out, number one, finding out about his tax returns. And now it turns out he can't even pay this, you know, $400 million he's supposed to the court system. I mean, for a multi-billionaire, which he likes to tell people that he is, this should not be a problem, you understand? Should not be a problem. But yet, Trump, according to NBC, having problems making this payment. And again, it gets back not just for himself personally, but also now is transferring into the campaign. According to NBC, small donor dollars are critical to Trump's ability to raise enough money to fund his presidential campaign. Donald Trump's reelection campaign has begun to see warning signs that the small dollar donors who fueled his last run for the White House have slowed their support to the former president this year, according to people familiar with the matter. Since late last year, members of Trump's team have been warned by Republican Party advisors that their small dollar donor base could be shrinking, said the sources, who are granted anonymity to discuss internal campaign matters. Some have even been told there may not be much that the former president or his campaign can do to win back these key donors. The drop in Trump's small dollar contributors could be a significant obstacle as the former president faces the well-funded incumbent president, Democrat Joe Biden. And again, this is something that has completely flipped from the days when, you know, I left the Republican Party in 2011. But, you know, in the 90s, either 80s, 90s, 2000s, Republicans would say, look, we don't want any limits on how much people could give. They're the ones that argued that money is free speech. Give as much as you want. They said that the Republicans used to say the Democrats are just whining because their ideas don't connect with Americans, the majority, and that's why people don't want to give to Democrats. That's what Republicans used to say. I was there. I mean, I was part of it, right? Republicans would say, well, if the Democrats just had better ideas and better candidates that would connect to people, people would give money. Well, now the tables have flipped. Democrats, by and large, have been outraising Republicans the last few cycles, particularly since Trump has been at the top of the ticket. Witness Wisconsin. Ever since Ben Wickler became chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, fundraising has gone through the roof. Number one, because I think that they nominated and elected a guy like Tony Evers at the top, who is not as divisive as some other Democrats have been in the past. And more people want to give to that. He's a unifier, by and large. Also, Ben Wickler is just really, really good at his job. And has enlisted a lot of kind of social media, brought the campaign into the new century, the fundraising campaign. And also, quite frankly, Democrats have more issues that touch a larger portion of Wisconsinites on things they care about, in which they're in agreement. Education, funding K-12 education, certainly women's health care and access to abortion rights. Talk about local control. During the Scott Walker years, I was there in the building, never seen a bigger grab at vetoing local control than the Walker administration. Telling local municipalities what you could do with your state resources, like fracking sand and mining. The Republican Party is no longer about the MAGA Republicans, no longer about local control. They're about Donald Trump. So it's not just it's not just a problem with small money contributors. It's big money too. The drop in Trump's small donor donations is magnified by a second problem. Many wealthy Republican donors have yet to commit to giving millions of dollars towards a pro-Trump political action committee or to use their extensive network to raise money for the campaign. Beyond Trump's specific entities, some donors are also hesitant to fund the Republican National Committee, or RNC, because they're afraid that Trump's going to use the money for his own legal woes. The reluctance, according to NBC, in part stems from concerns the RNC will use the money not to help elect Republicans, but to pay for Trump's extensive legal fees. Trump's legal money squeeze is not limited to his lawyer bills. Over the past 3 months, the former president has been found liable for fraud and defamation in federal and state civil court cases. The total combined judgments ordered against Trump add up to more than $500 million. Yesterday, Trump's attorneys revealed the former president has been unable to secure $454 million of bond money he needs to prevent the latest judgments against him from coming due later this month. If Trump cannot get a bond, he will need to pay the millions himself. New York Attorney General Lolita James has said she will not hesitate to seize Trump's properties if he fails to pay. And by the way, now they're trying to go back and get money from Haley donors, Nikki Haley donors, who, remember, Trump said he didn't want them. Didn't want their money, didn't want their support. Pretty hard to get money from people who you say, I don't want you.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Right? So I hope this is useful, particularly to people who still might be thinking, well, you know, I don't like what Trump says, but at least he's a successful business guy. No, as it turns out, not so much. You know who is successful? Luke Mathers. Our own Luke Mathers. He is going to be in with some Tuesday tangents. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lowball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I forgot to say at the start of the show, Mr. Zommers, happy spring. It is the first full day of spring, and I can't think of a better way than to hop, than to spring, than to bring enlightenment, a shoot of green in a seed of grayness, our own Luke Mathers.
You're too kind, Todd. Too kind. How you doing?
Now that you're here, better.
All right. I'm glad to be here.
And you, are you a big spring person when it comes to seasons?
No. I like fall. Fall's my fall's my preferred season. So I'm glad that we've got some sun, you know, breaking through.
Yes.
We got teased with that fall spring for a hot moment last couple weeks. But I'm glad. I nothing against spring, is just not top season for me. That's all.
Right? I hear it. But days are starting to get a little bit longer now. You have daylight saving time. And
threw off my entire sleep schedule last week.
Oh, me too.
Well worth it, because having sunlight still out at like 6:30, 6:45 in the evening, that is just a serotonin boost. Right. Just like oh yeah, it sucks, it's dark away, because obviously early riser, and it's now once again dark in the mornings, which throws you off. But the feeling of sunshine past 6 p.m that's a real good feeling.
People who know me know that the night we spring forward is my least favorite night of the year. And I'll be ornery and grumpy now until the fall, when we fall
back. See, I prefer to just stay on this. Never get rid of it ever again. Just stay on daylight savings time. It's my preferred time.
I get it. Luke, sir, when we were before the last segment there, on the last segment, we were talking a little bit about Trump's financial problems.
Can't find a lender, huh?
Not just the fact that he can't, not just, right. I mean, he can't find a lender, almost $500 million now is what he owes, including interest. But also his campaign. The small donors are drying up. And as someone that you spend some time around campaigns, I mean, you always hear about the people that the big dollar givers, the 5,000, the 10,000 plus, but really the campaigns, the bread and butter of any campaign are the people who give the $20, $25, $50 contributions.
Yeah, and for the better part of the last 10 years, since, you know, all the sides kind of got situated with what Super PACs and Citizens United and all of that, the dust that settled after those court decisions. Small dollar donors became a huge focus for a lot of campaigns. You got U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, who got very, very keen on $27. His average donor dollar mark was $27. And so small donors can fuel campaigns from less likely folks that do have those connections to the high dollar donors that can write checks with many a zeros after the one. And so, it is something that sustains a campaign. Monthly small gifts and recurring gifts are something that you can kind of get to sustain these really, really drawn out election cycles that we now experience. And when you see any candidate, not just the former president, struggling with small dollars, it's usually a pretty big sign that they're not going to be able to at least pack all the muster that they hope they could if they have that small dollar support.
What interests me is, being a former Republican, left the party in 2011, that, you know, Republicans used to say, well, Democrats always whine all the time because they can't, their ideas and their people aren't as good, and so they can't raise as much money, and that's why they want campaign finance limits. You know, just get better candidates and better ideas. That's completely, not completely, but almost totally flipped now, that Democrats, particularly under the leadership of Ben Wickler in Wisconsin, are outraising Republicans. And my theory is, it's because that now it's their ideas that are connecting with the majority of voters. And you have people like Tony Evers, who I think is a person who is connecting with a wide variety of people. And Republicans have gotten away from connecting with a wider variety. And guess what? People don't want to give to that.
It's a lazy argument.
Yeah.
It's a lazy argument. It's the same argument that we have Republican elected officials here in Wisconsin say, well, that's why we have our majorities here in the state house, is because we have better ideas. We get better candidates. Like, it's they use that lazy argument in a lot of different places. It's not just fundraising. It's something that they excuse away all of the built-in advantages that they have created through loosening campaign finance laws, allowing more dark money to be pumped into the state by gerrymandering the maps here in Wisconsin to not represent the will of what Wisconsin voters truly want and see action on. And so we just have better people and better ideas argument is just it's not a good one.
I know I knew we were filling in for Kelvin, who took a trip to the Bahamas, I believe, and I'm not sure where he went, but you were
enjoying some time off. He's taking that PTO. It's good for him. Earned, and he's using it.
Absolutely. I know you were down in Waukesha a lot last week working with Earl and Jane and Greg and those folks. I think I caught you just a little bit with Earl talking about these comments from Trump over the weekend. We covered a lot of it here yesterday and played the different cuts the down in Dayton, Ohio. And Trump used the term bloodbath, and we played the entire cut, so nobody could say we're taking out of context that he was talking about 100% tariffs on foreign import cars. Republicans like Scott Walker make the argument, oh, he was just talking about cars. Trygve Olson was featured in Raw Story yesterday, making the point, I think, that you and Earl talked a little bit about, give you a chance to talk about it again, that it really becomes not just the what he said, but how this ongoing rhetoric of divisiveness, of violence. And I thought Jen Psaki did a great job on her show of giving, we played some of that, of all the different things over the last several years of this divisiveness. And I think it's dangerous rhetoric, and it feeds into what Trump is trying to set up in the second term of authoritarianism.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head with that. Donald Trump likes to say things that then get swept up with people explaining away the nuance, when really he's saying the quiet part out loud. And that's what he wants. He wants the argument to be distilled around, oh, did he mean this? Did he mean that? But his most fervent supporters that went and stormed the Capitol, that led to police officers and rioters dying on January 6th, 140 officers injured still to this day. The language like bloodbath is what led to those events on January 6th. And he laid the groundwork for January 6th and the months leading up to it all throughout the 2020 election cycle. He didn't just say after the November election and start using rhetoric then. It had been building. It was like, oh, I'm only going to lose if they rig it. There was so much that led up to that. And I have a terrible feeling that this is a very similar playbook that he's going to use, where he's going to ratchet up his language from now until November. And if he loses, he wants to have his strongest supporters to be ready to, as he told the Proud Boys in 2020, stand back, but stand by.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to be taking his words for what they are and understanding how he's operated on the political stage for the last 8+ years now. Of what he's already done, because he's going to continue to do those things.
Talking to Luke Mather, is our executive producer here at Civic Media. If you have a question for Luke, sir, want to weigh in, invite your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Luke made it easy for us. Or you can text us as well. Off the phone lines, Tom listening in Madison. Tom, thanks for calling and listening. What say you?
Yeah, I was very interested in what you guys are saying. There's an AP story that just came out this morning about January 6th, and basically the headline is Trump is making the January 6th attack a cornerstone of his bid for the White House. Mm-hmm. It's not only that they're avoiding it, they're trying to run on it. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, yeah, his first comments, Tom, in Dayton over the weekend as well, was that if reelected, he wants to pardon all of the people that have been arrested and are serving time for committing the crimes that they committed on January 6th.
Yeah, he's doubling down on all that. And when it comes to ideas, I definitely advise people to look at Eric Hovey's social media platform. Facebook is just covered with all sorts of complaints, and there isn't a single solitary solution anywhere on it. And, you know, he's been on the record, you know, for a national abortion bill. He's been on the record for massive cuts to Social Security and Medicare. And he was definitely a Trumper, and he doesn't put any of that stuff on his website. It is just amazing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just fact-free and solution-free.
Well, I appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much, Tom, listening in on Madison's WMDX. He leads right into perfect timing. We appreciate the segue, Tom. Because, Luke, I was going to bring, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. There's a great article in Mother Jones, which we only touched on briefly yesterday. It's a great in-depth article. And it comes at the same time, it's focusing on a guy who was here in Wisconsin over the weekend. And OC Eric Hovde, Orange County Eric Hovde, was there in Green Bay at the Brown County Reagan-Lincoln Day dinner, or Lincoln-Reagan Day dinner up in Brown County over the weekend. And Hovde appeared at this guy, and it is this Brandon Staca. And this great article we read yesterday from Mother Jones on Brandon Staca. He's a guy who pleaded guilty to his activity in January 6th of the Capitol grounds, among other things, shouted, quote, take it, to a group of J6 rioters trying to steal a shield from a police officer who was involved in this, has pleaded guilty, and he is whitewashing January 6th. And to Tom's point, helping Republicans kind of run on it, he's here in Wisconsin helping to campaign for Eric Hovde and Republicans in the 8th Congressional District around Green Bay in Northeast Wisconsin. This is what's coming to Wisconsin in 2024, Luke.
Oh, it's already here, though. We already have elected officials. Derek Van Orden, still not sitting down with the local press here in Wisconsin, talking about where we know that he was on the Capitol grounds, and outside of that, he's avoided the questions of his full extent of participation, what took place at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. He got elected to Congress in 2022.
Yeah,
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, our senior senator here in this state, has whitewashed and downplayed the individuals there that day as tourists.
Right.
And so, yeah, this is not an Eric Hovde exclusive. This is par for the course for Republican elected officials or individuals wanting to become an elected official here through the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting year, and it's something we have to remain vigilant on. And I know that, you know, we have a lot of things planned here at Civic.
Happy spring. First day of spring.
Here's the question. Does Eric Hovde manscape in the spring? Because you saw that video of him in the lake. In the lake, he does not appear to do a lot of manscaping.
I'm not even going to touch that. Like, I'm not. It's not a topic of discussion that I think I ever need.
Not a tangent. Luke's nope. willing to go down.
There are. Yeah. There's some that I just avoid. With, yeah. I do love that his social media is already. I'm going to go jump in the lake because this is right? perfect.
Yeah. Go jump in the lake, Eric Comte.
Go jump in a lake.
All right, on to bigger and better things, and avoiding the shrinkage. Here we go. In the NCAA Selection Sunday was this past Sunday.
I'm grateful that you didn't take a bet with me because I would have lost.
I mean the one time I could have won something I didn't take it, and
the Badgers look great over the
weekend. Badgers look great. They knocked off Purdue. Pertner knocked off Illinois, yep. And but didn't quite happen. Now they face the a tough 12 seed, James Madison, and we know that at least one 12 is going to knock off a 5 every
at
year.
At least one.
At least one. So what are your thoughts on both Wisconsin as a 5 seed in the South region and then also Marquette, a 2 seed in the South region? Theoretically, they could meet in the Elite Eight with a spot in the Final Four on the line.
I would love that because, right? You know, Wisconsin already took care of business against Marquette once this year. All bets are off in March, though. It is a little madness. I think it's going to be an interesting bracket. I haven't been I've been following the Badgers closely enough this year, but I haven't honestly been following a ton of the other teams, especially outside of the Big Ten. So I have no idea what kind of matchup James Madison is.
They're tough. I mean, because
they're the 12 and the 12
shoot a lot of threes and they guard against the three. So I mean, I was reading. We'll get maybe into this next hour a little bit, but of course, Tom Oates, the retired columnist, and now writes a little bit for the Capital Times, has a podcast with Mike Lucas. They said in this week of their podcast, it's going to come down to Tyler Wall and AJ Store being able to bang inside and get down in the paint.
I'm confident in Tyler. So there we go.
We'll come back, talk some more sports with Luke, with the things happening on Civic Media. Maybe even a little bit about the big giveaway, too.
There you go.
More Luke Mathers. This is the Todd Allball Show with Zombers on the Board. It is Tuesday on Civic Media's Ready Network. The Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. Now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Tuesday, March 19th. If it's Tuesday, it's Meet the Press. No, if it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Every Tuesday afternoon at 12:30, appreciate him stopping by. He is the executive producer of the Civic Media Ready Network. What was that song there you dialed up, Mr. Mathers?
Or Tangerine by Glass Animals. 2 years ago, end of last week, I went and saw him live here at the Sylvie. Yeah. Really good
right
show.
Here at the Sylvie.
Yeah, here at the Sylvie in Madison. So
great venue.
Oh, yeah. I believe at the time it was my first time there.
Really?
Because, yeah, it was right after the pandemic. Band started touring again, and that was the first opportunity I had to go to that great local new venue.
Fantastic.
It's not new anymore, but, but that great venue.
New to some people. Yes. Newer.
Yeah.
New-ish.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So before we move on here, Luke and Zomers, they have a problem.
It's grinding my gears.
Here's what's grinding Luke's gears. Tell us, Luke, what's grinding your gears?
The regional allocation of NCAA teams in this tournament makes no sense to me. And this has always been something that I've kind of like raised an eyebrow at.
Yeah.
But this year, this tournament, it looks way more egregious than years past. Or maybe I'm just focusing on it a little bit more.
This is truly grinding his gears. He's been salty about it.
Well, because Wisconsin, okay, yeah. We're in the South region.
Right.
As a 5 seed, that doesn't make sense to me. What, Wisconsin's not South. I've looked at a map. It's South of Canada, but I don't know if there's any Canadian universities play.
Look, I'm no expert here, but I can tell you that the regions are here. Here are the regional sites, all right? The East region is at the Garden in Boston. The regional final.
Okay, that makes sense. Boston is east. Okay.
The South regional is at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
The Midwest regional final is in Detroit at the Little Caesar Arena.
Pizza. Yes.
And the West is in Los Angeles, California, okay, at the Crypto.com arena.
That makes sense, but I don't understand how Wisconsin is in the South.
If it's called regional, wouldn't you think it would involve teams in the region?
Get yourself a piece of chalk, find yourself a blackboard, and write a dollar sign. It all comes down to the money.
I thought you were going to tell me to make the schedule. I was like, no, I'm not going to do their job for them. These cities bid,
and then Houston is the number one seed in the South region. Yeah. And so the highest seed gets seeded.
The two seed in that region is Marquette. And they're not South.
No, but they get to. I think they play close to home in the first round, which is like in Dayton or something.
Oh, so you get your runner up, you get the other rounds closer. Okay, doesn't make any sense. BYU in the East.
All right.
Utah's pretty far west.
Wisconsin is starting out in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, at the Barclays Center,
competing in the South.
Yes,
competing in the South in New York City. It doesn't make sense.
You can listen to the game on the Civic Media Radio Network on Friday. Make sure you have your soda or whatever keeps you awake, because tip-off time isn't until about 8:40 p.m.
No, but the Bucks just completed a road trip out in the West Coast, and so there were four games in a row that did not start until 9 p.m. Central Time.
Did you stay up for all those?
Almost all of them. Two of them were blowout losses to one of the games, L.A., was a Sunday matinee, so that was fine. But the other three were all 9 p.m. late starts, and two of those three games were blowout losses to Golden State and to Sacramento. So I did give myself the ability to go to bed at 11 p.m. instead of staying up to like 11:30, 11:45, watching the entire blowout loss. I was not that crazed of a fan, but I will stay up late to watch my Milwaukee Bucks, and I will stay up late to watch my Wisconsin Badgers.
All right. And does the new dog help you stay up, or does
sleep? She's the reason I need to go to bed early, because at 4:15 this morning, that was when I got the first, and it wasn't even the puppy again.
Really?
It was Remy. He woke up and then woke the puppy up, and it's a domino effect from there.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about that.
It's not your fault. It happens.
But the Bucks we talked to Mike Clemens expected. A little bit, our sports reporter Mike Clemens. Bucks had a nice win over the Suns, our series over the weekend, and looked like they maybe...
Giannis, too.
Yeah.
Scored 141. 140.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, of course, the first day of spring, we're still in spring training for the Milwaukee Brewers. You can listen to the Brewers on select stations across Civic Media. And now here's the question that people have been asking me over the last three weeks. Yeah. They want we're here to ask it to you live on the air directly. Uh-huh. Is Civic Media going to have a cachet of tickets again this year to give away during Brewers baseball? And are you once again the keeper of the tickets?
I am ticket keeper adjacent this year. So I have access. I have access to and will be helping, but there will be some opportunities for listeners to, as long as they stay.
Yeah.
As loyal listeners, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out how, but there will be some Brewers tickets given away across.
So who's the
keeper
of the tickets this year?
It's a ticket keeper by committee kind of setup so that it doesn't all have to fall onto one of us. And so if one of us gets bald and tried to have all the tickets taken from us, we can pass them off very easily.
No. But at least even if it were still just you, we'd know just to look under Funko Lego's porch. As long as it's afternoon.
I don't know what to say about that.
Why?
Karnak says, you know, that's... Well, I hope it goes well.
I think it will go well.
All right.
It will go well. We got a lot of tickets to go around.
Here we go. A couple of people off the text line here. WAUK Andrew from Maine says, Mr. Mathers is going to build a four-court arena in Topeka, Kansas, so we can host all four regions on their respective courts. At one location.
Andrew, I think you're onto something there.
That's pretty good.
It'd be easy to run the tournament then. Just have everybody there. I don't know if Topeka can handle all those teams coming at once, but...
Also, he says, want to spend some time in college basketball? Do you want to talk about the SEC championship? No, I don't. Between South Carolina and LSU, specifically, the teams played the last few minutes of the game without substitutes due to the bench-clearing skirmish and a bunch of ejections. Yeah, it was really sad, and I just thought it was... It was really bad and a terrible example of a lack of sportsmanship and control. And it was not a pretty part of college basketball. Also, Long Beach State, by the way, they are a 15 seed. They're playing in the West region against number 2 Arizona. get this.
That region and that matchup makes sense. Yeah.
Get this. Last week.
Oh, wait, Long Beach, California? Or yeah. Long Beach? Oh, that, never mind. That doesn't make sense.
Long, yes, because they're in the West region. But anyway, here's the point. Long Beach State dismissed and fired their head coach last week. His name is Dan Monson, who used to be at Gonzaga before Gonzaga got super good. And they dismissed him. And he agreed to stay through the finals. And now they're in the tournament.
Huh? It'll be interesting. Some drama. There's always drama for basketball in March.
Always drama, Lukester. Never drama with Luke Mathers, though. He's a calming balm of your radio afternoon. Thanks, Luke.
Take it easy, Todd.
Give away some prizes, some spring flings in hour two. Ride into spring. Don't go anywhere.